Doctor, why did you push $2 worth of gas in the car instead of filling it? Barney, I did not want gas when I stopped to ask directions. Doctor, in other words, you felt you ought to repay them, is that it? Barney, I felt I should do something. And I pull over to the side, and I ask the policeman, how can I find, I keep thinking Route 3. And he does speak English very haltingly over the strong accent, but he does give me directions. I'm passing a beautiful school, it's a Catholic school. I see the priest out there. Beautiful rolling grounds, it's sitting on a hill. It's a very beautiful school in Montreal. And again, I miss my tum. / I, Barney continues describing the detail of the trip across Canada, and the upper part of Vermont. 114. It's dark, it's not a good road, but it's a short distance to New Hampshire, and I see the signs of Colebrook and it is welcome. I feel alert. I feel that my trip is over and I'm on Route 3 and I see Route 3 going to the left and to the right from straight ahead, and I become confused, and I realize I want to go straight and not to the left. I decide to stop and check my map, and I turn around and go back to a restaurant I have passed and I park and we go in. There is a dark-skinned woman, in there, I think, dark by Caucasian standards, and I wonder is she a light-skinned Negro, or is she Indian, or is she white? And she waits on us, and she is not very friendly, and I notice this, and others are there and they are looking at me and at Betty, and they seem to be friendly or pleased, but this dark-skinned woman doesn't. I wonder then more so, is she Negro, and wonder if she is wondering if I know she is Negro and is passing for white. I eat a hamburger and I become impatient with Betty to not to drink her coffee so we can get started, and the clock and my watch say 5 minutes after 10, and I know I should be in Portsmouth, I think, by 2 o'clock. 75, I. Doctor, didn't you say just a while ago it was 1:10 or 1:15? Barney, I said Route 114. Doctor, I see. All right, go on. Barney, I see dark, very dark. No traffic and Betty has asked me to stop the car, and let Dulcie out, she's the dog. Doctor, why is she named Dulcie? Barney, I think the people that owned her before called her Dolce, he gives an Italian-like explosive pronunciation, Dolce, and Betty called her Dolce and this became her name. Doctor, go on, you stop to take Dolce out. Barney, my thoughts keep going back to Canada. I stop in Coaticook, Canada. Doctor, yes. Barney, I can't park close to this restaurant, so I park on the street and we must walk to the restaurant. And everybody on the street passing us by is looking. And we go into this restaurant, and all eyes are re-upon us. And I see what I call the stereotype of the hoodlum. The ducktail haircut. And I immediately go on guard against any hostility. And no one says anything to me. And we are served. Doctor, now this other restaurant you were in, was that in Canada? Barney, that was in Colebrook, New Hampshire. 76, Doctor, how is it your thoughts go back to Canada? Is this a memory you're having again? Barney, I just went back. I went back because when Betty was telling me to stop the car when we left Colebrook, New Hampshire, and we are now in the country part, I was thinking that I should get hold of myself, and not think everyone was hostile, or rather suspect hostility, when there was no hostility there. It was a very pleasant restaurant. The people were friendly. And I wondered why was this so important to me? And why was I ready to be defensive just because these boys were wearing this style of haircut? Doctor, just your thoughts went back to Canada? Barney, yes. I was thinking of that when we were in New Hampshire. When she asked me to stop and let the dog go for a walk. That's when my thoughts went back. Here, shortly before this sighting, Barney reveals again his apprehension, his ambivalence with respect to his acceptance by others, his need for reassurance. The seemingly unfriendly waitress pressed him to seek a reassuring one. Colebrook. The unfriendly. Perhaps by clang association, a psychiatric term involving similar sounds which conjure up associations invoked Coaticook. Barney, he continues to describe the drive down U.S. 3. In the vicinity of Lancaster, New Hampshire, in his recall, he first brings up the object in the sky. I look up through the windshield of the car, and I see a star. That's funny, but I said, Betty, that's a satellite. And then I pulled over to the side of the road, and Betty jumped out her side with the binoculars. And I got the chain, and I hook it to the dog on her collar, and I say, come on, Delcy, let's get out. And she jumps out. Barney is mixing present and past tenses now, varying probably with the intensity of his feelings. 77, and I look towards the sky, and, I, look back to Delcy, and walk her, around to the trunk of the car. And I'm saying, hurry up, Betty, so I can get a look. And Betty passes the binoculars to me. And I see that it's not a satellite. It is a plane. And I tell Betty this, and give the binoculars back to her. And I am satisfied. Doctor, what kind of plane was it? Barney, I look and it is to the right. And it does not go where I thought it would go. It does not go past me to the right, my right shoulder. I think it will pass my right shoulder, off in the distance, going to the north. I am facing west, and my right is to the north. And it does not go to the north. There is a faint trace of amazement beginning to come into his voice. From his tone, you can feel him reliving, not retelling, the story. Doctor, does it have propellers? Barney, and I think this is strange. I cannot tell. I cannot bear a motor to know if it has propellers. Doctor, was your engine running? Barney, my engine was running G. Doctor, how about the noise that it had been greased? M. Macking, before you had your car, Barney, IT was not making this noise. And I did not pay attention to my engine running G. I was concerned it would not cut oil while one was standing here with all the lights on in the car, and the battery runs down. And I was concerned, and I looked at the exhaust, and could tell that smoke was still coming from the exhaust. 78, Doctor, from the exhaust of Barney, my car. Barney, so I did not concern myself too much after that. And this object that was a plane was not a plane. It was it was funny. It was coming around towards us. I looked up and down the road. And I thought, how dark it is. What if a bear was to come out? And I worried. I returned to the car and said, let's go, Betty. It's nothing but a plane. And they're coming over this way. They're changing course. Probably it's a Piper Cub. Doctor, a Piper Cub would have only one or two windows, wouldn't it? You saw windows in this plane? Barney, this is what I said, and Piper Cub. This is what I saw when I returned to my car. Doctor, you saw a Piper Cub? Barney, and I drive, and Betty is still looking. And she said, Barney, this is not a plane. It is still following us. And I stop and I look and I see it is still out there. Off in a distance. So I search for a place to pull off the road. And I see a dirt road to the right of the main highway. And I think this is a good place where I can pull off. And if any car comes, it won't strike me. And I get out of the car, and I am thinking. This is strange. His tone reflects the strangeness, now. Ominously. Cause it is still there. And Betty said slash think she said, I am mad with her. I say to myself, I believe Betty is trying to make me think this is a flying saucer. Doctor, the tape recorder needs a minor adjustment, and he must interrupt. 19, all right. Let's stop right there for now. Until I speak to you again, you will not hear any sound here. You will be comfortable and relaxed. Just rest comfortably until I speak to you again. The doctor adjusts the equipment, then, all right. You may proceed. B.E., and I am wondering why doesn't it go away. And I stop and I look again. And I see where it has gone up ahead of us on Cannon Mountain. And I think when I get past Old Man of the Mountain. The stone formation that has become the symbol of New Hampshire. It will be in reported. Dr. A., good area to look and see this thing. And I am going to. Do you still think it was a Piper Cub? Barney, I am wondering why these pilots are military. And they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that. They will make some person have an accident by flying around like that. And what if they dive at me? And the military should not do that. Doctor, was it a single engine plane? Br. E1, I do not know. Doctor, why you still saw no propellers anywhere? Barney, still in his dead, level voice. I saw no propellers. Doctor, was it light enough to seconds? Throughout the entire interrogation, the doctor is checking, double checking, challenging. So, Barney, it was just a light moving through the sky. And I heard no noise. And I think this is ridiculous. And, he speaks as though Betty were with him. Betty. This is not a flying air saucer. What are you doing this for? You want to believe in this thing, and I don't. Now he returns to his level monotone. And it is still there. And I wish I could pass a state trooper or someone, because this is dangerous. Doctor, what was the danger? Barney, I am thinking of bathing in French Creek, with my two boys. And this plane came overhead, and dove straight for us, and pulled up just a few inches from the state park. The movement of the object in the sky brought to Barney's mind a similar incident with a plane some time before in which he had a strong emotional reaction. It is interesting how related Remini's senses of the past are recalled with the vividness and clarity of the original experience. Doctor, in French Creek? Barney, in Pennsylvania. French Creek, Pennsylvania. Doctor, was it a Piper Cub? Barney, it was a jet plane. A fighter plane. And I feel it in my chest. The explosion when it went up in the air again. And my ears, they feel like bursting. And I think of that. And I become angry with this plane that is flying around, that it might do that. And it is a frightening sound, the boom. 81, he is referring to the sonic boom of the jet breaking the sound barrier at French Creek. He is apprehensive of this happening again here in the White Mountains. Doctor, the jet? Bar. L-E-Y, yes. French Creek. Doctor, if there is any sound from what you call a Piper Cub, you can hear it now. The subject may hear the sounds of his past experience. Barney 1, can't hear any sound. Doctor, no sound whatsoever? Barney, almost plaintively. One want to hear a jet. Oh, I want to hear a jet so badly. I want to hear it. He is referring to the sound of the motor, not the sonic boom. He is anxious to relate this mysterious object to reality. Doctor, why? Why do you want to hear a jet? Barney, because Betty is making me mad. She is making me angry because she is saying, look at it. It is strange. It is not a plane. Look at it. And I keep thinking, it's got to be. And I want to hear a hum. I want to hear a motor. Doctor, how far away was it? Barney, it wasn't far. It was about 1000 feet, I guess. Doctor, 1000 feet? S2, Barney, 1000 feet. Doctor, if it were a Piper Cub, do you think it would have been silent at this distance? Barney, who is a practiced plane watcher? I do not. I know it is not a Piper Cub. Doctor, pressing hard for facts and inconsistencies. How do you happen to know so much about Piper Cubs? Barney, I thought it was a Piper Cub, because I had seen Piper Cubs landing on the water at Lake Winnipesaukee. And I have seen them, with ski landing gear, landing on the ice. And I stopped my car, and Betty and I said, look, there's another one. And we enjoyed watching these planes. And I knew I was in the mountain area where I had seen Piper Cubs flying, and I thought this was a Piper Cub. Doctor, all right. Barney, but it was not. It was too fast. It moved too fast. It would go up and down. It could go back so fast. More amazement in his voice, as if he is watching the object do this. It could go away and come back. Doctor, did it go back and forth, or did it go in circles? Barney, it would go toward the west. And without looking as though it turned, it would come straight back. It would go like a he gropes momentarily for a simile. I, 83, LJ, I think of a paddle and a ball and a rubber band tied to it. And you hit the ball, and the ball goes out and comes straight back, without a circle. And I think only a jet could fly that fast. And I am hoping I can find a good place where I can stop and really see this thing, whatever it is. And I see a wigwam, and I recognize this place, and I feel safe. And I feel in the barren hostility of the wooded area. He is referring to a commercial trade wigwam, closed now for the season, but in the summer selling souvenirs of Indian Head at that time. Doctor, what is this place? Barney, it is Indian Head. I had been there before. And I feel comforted that I see a familiar place. And I think I will get a good look at this thing she was annoying by telling me, because Betty was very annoying. Look. And I can't look. I had to drive the car. Doctor, did you think she was serious? Barney, I knew she was serious. Doctor, was she excited? Barney, and I know Betty only becomes excited rarely. She does not become, she does not get involved, like I do, emotionally as something, making her this excited. Do C-T-O-R, quickly. And so, this angered me, because I knew she was excited. It would have to be, you said you thought she was trying to make you believe this was a flying saucer. Had you talked about flying saucers? Barney, no. I is not sure about the doctor's question, so he asks for an explanation. 84, is this ever or when? Doctor, ever. Barney, yes. We talked about flying saucers. And no one ever said anything conclusive except that they might exist. Betty said she believed in them. Doctor, did she believe in them? Barney, I felt it wasn't that important. I didn't believe in them. Doctor, but she did? Barney, yes, Betty did believe in flying saucers. Doctor, did she have any reason for believing in them? Barney, her sister. I am thinking of visiting her mother and father in Kingston, New Hampshire. And they live in a nice, quiet area. Only three houses. Her two sisters and her mother's houses are located there. And at night you can look at the sky and see millions of stars. And I think how beautiful this is. And we were talking about satellites. The Russians had sent up Sputnik. And her father was talking about, and how you could see some satellites from here at certain hours. And we talked about flying, we talked about life on other planets. And then Betty's sister said she had seen an object flying, long and cigar-shaped, and smaller objects coming to it and flying away from it. Nikka P files record scores of this kind of report. I listened and I did not criticize. But I thought nothing. I just listened, and was indifferent to the conversation. So we did talk about flying saucers. But I have not talked about flying saucers since 1957, when we were talking about Sputnik. And this was 1961. 85, Doctor, well, we're back in 1961 now. And you are looking for a place where you can stop and observe this. And Betty has been constantly egging you on. Barney, sharply and suddenly. I want to wake up. This is an indication that the subject may be about to experience a painful recall, a memory that he cannot face even in the trance. Dr. Simon is alerted at this point to the likelihood of a strong emotional reaction. Doctor, firmly. You're not going to wake up. You're in a deep sleep. You are comfortable, relaxed. This is not going to trouble you. Go on. You can remember everything now. Barney. He is now becoming measurably excited. It's right over my right. God. What is it? His voice begins to tremble. And I try to maintain control, so Betty cannot tell I am scared. Doctor, am scared. God, his voice is calm, very calm, and firm in the face of Barney's mounting emotion. It's all right. You can go right on, experience it. It will not hurt you now. Barney breaks into breathless sobbing, then screams. I gotta get a weapon. Lie screams again in his CH ear, his sobs BECO minutes G uncontrollable, The doctor is faced with a hard decision now. 86, 2, impose, M1, amnesia, and bring him out of the trance, or to keep him moving through the experience for the abreaction, discharge of feeling. Further, the amnesic period would appear somewhere in this area, and it has not yet been penetrated. Doctor, very firmly. Go to sleep. You can forget, now. You've forgotten. He provides Barney with momentary relief. You're calm now. Relaxed. Deeply relaxed. You do not have to make an outcry. Now he brings him back again to the experience. Barney's violent reaction subsides slightly, but he is still breathing heavily. I, but you can remember it now. Keep remembering. You feel you have to get a weapon. Barney, yes. Dr. Tobias is going to harm you, you felt. Barney, he speaks in great excitement. Yes. I opened the trunk of my car. I get the tire wrench. Part of the jack. And I get back in the car. Again, his panic is rising. Doctor, all right. Just keep reasonably calm. Barney, and I keep it by me. And then I get out with the binoculars. Now with quiet terror. And it is there. And I look. And I look. And it is just over the field. And I think I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. But his voice is in terror. 87, I'll fight it off. I'm not afraid. And I walk. And I walk out, and I walk across the road. There it is up there. Ugh, God. He again breaks into a scream. Doctor, his voice very calm and firm. It's there. You can see it. But it's not going to hurt you. Barney, intensely emotional. Why doesn't it go away? Look at it. An especially loud gasp. There's a man there. Is he a captain? What is he? He looks at me. Doctor, just a minute. Let's go back a little now. You said it was there. Did you say 1,000 feet away? The doctor is referring to the last time Barney mentioned the distance. In the space of time covered by Barney's recall, the object has now moved to slightly more than treetop level, and not more than a few hundred feet away from Barney. He later recalled, as Lil stood in the field. Barney, oh, number doctor, 1,000 yards? Barney, no, it doesn't look that far. It's very big. And it's not that far. And I, can seconds it tilted toward me. Doctor, what docs it look like now? Barney, very hesitantly, as if he is studying the object above him in the sky, but hemuk karma, much more objective. It looks like a big pancake. With windows and rows of windows, and lights. Not lights, just one huge light. Doctor, rows of windows? Like a commercial plane? Barney, rows of windows. They're not like a commercial plane. Because they curve around the side of this pancake. And I say to myself, my God, no. I have to shake my head. I've got this can't be true. This isn't here. Sighs heavily, almost a moan. Ugh, it's still there. There is a fatalistic resignation in his voice. And I look up and down the road. Can't somebody come? Can't somebody come and tell me this is not there? It can't be, but doctor, you're still safe. You can see it all clearly. Barney, with complete resignation. It's there. Doctor, perhaps Barney is dreaming this. The doctor will press this point. You'd had no sleep that evening? Barney, I pinch my right confused. Arm, dot. It's not my right doctor, arm, it's my left, arm. You're clear now. Relaxed. Barney, with more fatalism in his tone. It's still there. As if an idea strikes him. 89, if I let my binoculars fall and dangle from my neck and start over, again, maybe it won't be there. Resigned, as he seems to go through this maneuver, a magical defense ritual, like crossing his fingers. But it is. Now with incredulity. Why? What do they want? What do they want? One person looks friendly to me. He's friendly looking. And he's looking at me. Over his right shoulder. And he's smiling. But. Doctor, could you see him clearly?
Barney, yes, I could.
Doctor, what was his face like? What did it make you think of?
Barney, it was round.
Pauses for a moment, then, I'll think of a red-headed Irishman. Another pause, then, I don't know why.
I'll think I know why.
Because Irish are usually hostile to Negroes. And when I seconds a friendly Irish person, I react to him by thinking slash will be friendly. And I think this one that is looking over his shoulder is friendly.
Doctor, you say looking over his shoulder. Was he facing away from you?
Barney, yes.
He was facing a wall.
Doctor, you saw him through this window?
You said there was a row of windows.
90. Barney, he takes care to be extremely precise.
There was a row of windows.
A huge row of windows. Only divided by struts or structures that prevented it from being one solid window.
Or then it would have been one solid window.
And the evil face on the he starts to say leader. He looks like a German Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
There is a questioning tone in his voice.
Doctor, he's a Nazi.
Did he have on a uniform?
Barney, yes.
Doctor, what kind of uniform?
Barney, with a small amount of surprise.
He had a black scarf around his neck, dangling over his left shoulder.
He gestures in his trance.
Doctor, you pointed it out as if it were on you.
Barney, half to himself.
I never noticed that before.
Doctor, he had a black scarf around his neck.
Another sharp probe. How could you see the figures so clearly at that distance?
Barney, I was looking at them with binoculars.
91. Doctor, oh. Did they have faces like other people?
You said one was like a red-headed Irishman.
Barney, describing the scene very slowly and carefully.
His eyes were slanted.
Obi's eyes were slanted.
But not like a Chinese O.
Oh.
Quite abruptly.
I feel like a rabbit. I feel like a rabbit.
Doctor, what do you mean by that?
Barney, he recalls a scene from his earlier days, a scene that flashed through his mind as he stood in the dark field at Indian Head, an example of reminiscent recall showing the persistent impact of early experience on the present when similar in emotional significance.
Was hunting for rabbits in Virginia.
And this cute little bunny went into a bush that was not very big.
And my cousin Marge was on one side of the bush, and I was on the other with a hat.
And the poor little bunny thought he was safe.
And it tickled me, because he was just hiding behind the little stalk, which meant security to him when I pounced on him, and threw my hat on him, and captured the poor little bunny who thought he was safe.
Pauses a moment, in quiet reflection.
L, funny I thought of that right out there on the field.
I repeats the phrase I feel like a rabbit.
Doctor as, if to himself.
What was Betty doing all this time?
Barney, I can't hear her.
92, later, in one of their many trips to the scene, the Hills checked this to find that it was very difficult to hear at the estimated distance Barney was from the car.
Doctor, did you make any outcry to her the way you did to me?
Barney, TFLR middle dot, I can't remember.
Don't know.
An effort to avoid under hypnosis, but he must also remember, and he speaks again as if he realizes this.
I did not.
Doctor, you would remember, if you did.
Barney, his thoughts seem to be on the craft, and not on what the doctor is saying.
I did not.
I know this creature is telling me something.
Doctor, telling you something?
How
is he getting it to you?
Barney, I can see it in his face.
No, his lips are not moving.
Doctor, I, go on.
He's telling you something.
Barney, his voice begins to rise in emotion again.
Strong emotion.
And he's looking at me.
And he's just telling me, don't be afraid.
I'm not a bunny.
I'm going to be safe.
He didn't tell me I was that bunny.
Doctor, what did he tell you?
Barney, as if he's quoting what he was told.
93, stay there and keep looking.
Just keep looking and stay there.
And just keep looking.
Just keep looking.
Doctor, could you hear him tell you?
Barney, oh.
I got the binoculars away from my eyes.
Cause stand there. Doctor, if I don't, I'll just. Did you hear him tell you this?
Barney,
oh, no.
He didn't say it. More tremor in his voice,